Oh, yes, guy. Gameplay hour number two. Tim Taddy subbing for Matthew Cause. Listening on TSN 1050 and TSN1050.ca and the iHeartRadio app. Pleased to bring in my partner in crime on the World Junior Hockey coverage on TSN Radio, coast to coast, Sean Simpson from TSN 1200, former goaltender, and, you know, knows a bit about the game. Simmer, how are you, buddy?
I'm excellent. How's my BAFF today?
Everything's well here. Sorry that we had to crash the birthday party open house last night, but
yeah, well, that ended up being okay. Like I said, a dream of mine to switch the young Sean Simpson to spend his birthday with Jim Taddy. My God, doesn't get any better than that.
Well, spread that around, and I do charge an appearance fee, so we can make that happen. I was just thrilled.
We'll be good.
I was thrilled last night that in the end of the game, you were talking about defenseman positioning and trying to bail out Kosa, the goaltender, on one of those goals, and Stretti just jumped right in and said, whoa.
Oh, he's a veteran. You can tell the guys have been around the locker room, right? They're able to bring it right away. He just came right at me. I wasn't expecting JT. Kind of like just going slow there, so he opened up nicely, so should set up for some more fun nights of hockey and a little wrap-up after. Always great to get his input.
I mean, we had a lot to say last night, and because we're paid to do that, but I mean, it was an opening game, and I thought, you know, 5-2 against Latvia, there was some ebbs and flows in terms of execution, but I thought it was a pretty good opening game. How about you?
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I didn't really have expectations. You're kind of weighing into this after the way the summer had gone. Everything with Hockey Canada, it's a summer tournament. I don't think we're as familiar with the roster. And hey, I understand Latvia is not a super strong club, but I just look at these things and you come in and recognize, first of all, they're teenagers. Secondly, it's summertime, but man, oh man, the level of hockey over the years at the junior level has grown so much when I played, from when I started watching the World Junior, and from the show they put on yesterday, and for a team that hasn't spent a lot of time together, I thought tactically they looked really organized. And if you're Dave Cameron, from kind of start, middle, and finish, I think you're really pleased with what you saw in game one, and you look almost excited to hop right back in it and play Slovakia tonight.
Yeah, so we talked a lot about the top line, and clearly Bedard is like the headline story. His line mates McTavish and Waugh help out nicely. That's a pretty dominant line, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, you know, and it should just get better and better. And I don't know as much about Waugh, but when you certainly watch McTavish, I think he sets the table nicely. He is very good defensively. He is the big body. He is kind of the veteran, burly guy with that nice beard. And in the case of Connor Bedard, there's not much more you could ask for. That first double circle he did in the offensive zone, a couple of the rushes, very dynamic on the power play. And I've always said, if you want to be a goal scorer, JT, you got to be selfish. You got to want the puck. You want to shoot the puck. And man, oh man, he can wind that thing up, and he can shoot from anywhere. So lots of fun to watch them, and I'm sure for the teams that are looking to throw their season this year to try to get them, they're just praying they could end up winning the draft lottery, and he certainly kicked things off last night and got people excited.
Yeah, so when you deal with Bedard, and I mentioned this in the last segment, we're talking about those guys that end up in the Hall of Fame, and you can tell that from the first time they step on the ice or play whatever their discipline is. I mean, you're talking about that extraordinary talent package, but you're also talking about how the guy thinks the game, how he motivates himself, the inner drive. And on that, you know, there was two sequences there that led up to the goal, the one where he shoots and then comes back in again and does it again and makes the adjustment. I mean, this guy, I'm not going to compare him to Gretzky, but these guys have that ability to analyze things, right, and make the adjustment right away.
Yeah, kind of like a sniper. Hey, you just adjust your scope a little bit. You come around a second time and you're not going to miss. But what I think is also interesting is that when you were embracing this as a Canadian kid, it is the draft. And we saw with Shane Wright last year. And again, I think Connor Bedard is going to be the number one, and I think he's a better hockey player. But for Shane Wright to have that pressure last year was not easy. And when it came down to a draft in Montreal making the pick, I'm actually thrilled for him that he didn't get drafted by Montreal, that he had a chance to go to Seattle. So for that, you have to embrace it. And for Connor McDavid back in the day, coming all the way through, drafted by a Canadian team, he's come in and delivered, and one can only understand. And we've never walked in those shoes, but to love it, to enjoy it, to embrace it, having no idea where you're going to be drafted, but I guess just to be that good, and it appears to be just loving the game, that's got to be a whole lot of fun. He was outstanding last year with Regina, and at the World Junior, the glimpse we saw last Christmas was outstanding, and the glimpse we saw last night's outstanding. So it's only going to get better, and I really appreciate appreciate that for an underage player, because you're playing against a lot of kids that are a lot older, you know, and you're kind of, not, I'd say it's a little early. I look to the tournament at Christmas, JT, but I look at, hey, it's kind of like, he's a Canadian kid right now. You know, lots riding on him playing well and something fresh and new for a program that's had a tough summer.
By the way, Finland against Czechia is on TSN right now. It'll be followed by Slovakia against Canada, 5:30. We start on the radio side at 5:30 as well. So that means Overdrive's on for a cup of coffee today, the 90-minute show. I mean, that's an absolute breeze. And I look for some sort of stipend in the mail from the Overdrive people as we, you know, sort of make their life easier.
Well, they've probably pre-taped the show, and they're probably out golfing. So, I mean, hey, come on. Let's make sure that you actually see them live on the video portion of it, because chances are, hey, that thing's already been taped a couple of days ago. Probably use most of our clips, most of our information, and then they're just out there, you know, probably doing a 36. So hey, good for them.
Oh yeah, that'll resonate. We might hear something about that, that's for sure. so let me ask you this, and maybe Chris could record this, and maybe we could sort of mail in the pregame show. Game two for Canada, what would you be looking at in terms of an advancement or an evolution of what they did last night?
Yeah, I think just the same thing, JT. You know, realistically, with Slovakia missing some of their big boys, they're not a strong club. They got handled by the Czech Republic. But, hey, continuation. Get the reps. Get the rust out. It is back-to-back. Kids haven't played a lot of hockey. I think just continue working in five-man units. I think if you're Dave Cameron, you're rolling all four lines, trying to make adjustments if you want to. Get everybody playing. And the only critique, and Strzelecki brought it up a lot yesterday as far as the penalty kill, you know, maybe just a little quicker on face-offs. Work on the draws themselves. Identify exactly who's going to be taking the draws, and then beyond that, just keep playing kind of the same way. I liked a lot of things they did. I did like the power play. That's one of the ones you want to get the reps in live fire and kind of keep going. And also just curious in goal. I had not seen an announcement yet. Maybe they've already said it as to who's going to be starting in goal, and we'll start to feel that process out as to exactly who's going to be number one probably by Monday night, and then as we get into the elimination round.
Well, as a former goaltender, I mean, Kosa is a great prospect. He's a tall guy, does tend to get tangled up at times. I saw him in the Memorial Cup and saw him get tangled up with his own feet a couple of times. What was your assessment? I mean, I thought he played well last night, but what's your assessment of him and what he has to do?
No, I think the same thing. You know, I don't know the other players as well, but I'm curious to see them. But, hey, he's been good. But as you just pointed out, when you look at this, it's not necessarily, hey, if he was drafted early. I mentioned a reference yesterday, JT, on Matt Murray. Some of these younger players aren't on the radar as teenagers. They evolve either early or late. But for a guy at 6'7", I think his best days are ahead. I really appreciated yesterday as he was good, but I just thought he really battled and ended up bringing it home. Do I totally see him as a finished product? Of course not. He's 6'7". He's still a teenager. There's lots to go here. I'd be curious to go look at some of the other guys, just getting a kind of a feeling of maybe settling things a little bit. But again, appreciated the way he played. Also the simple fact that it is summer. There hasn't been a lot of hockey played. And for any goaltender, let alone 6'7", it takes some, you know, some reps, some games here to get yourself totally comfortable. So we'll see what they present tonight against Slovakia.
I mean, the guy who was very noticeable, and Ottawa Senators fans, was there a parade today for Ridly Greig?
Well, pretty close. You know, no statue yet, but certainly talking about what number he's going to end up wearing. And I don't even know if the Sens have a number 17, but you're right. And I wouldn't say this is new to Sens fans. And it was funny and typical, too. You have positive and negative, but some people really panned the pick when it was 28th. You know, you've got the NHL pedigree of his dad. And I always find it funny that back in the day, he was a first-round pick, meaning dad of the Hartford Whalers. Second round ended up being Jake Sanderson's dad. So both of them now with Ottawa. But Ridly Greig, from the day he stepped on the scene to the time that he had in Belleville to when he went back to junior last year, he is just tracked as an excellent hockey player. He's very feisty, but he also makes plays, and he makes it, and he puts up points. And I'll tell you what, he's just got a real bright future. And I don't know with the way the Sens stack up right now in a nice way where the room is for him at center ice, and I'm talking more in the 12 to next 24 months, but this guy's going to be a real good player and somebody. Well, it was actually Dave Poulin texted me me last night and said, hey, how fun will it be on one day when you slide him into the middle with Brady Tkachuk and they go out and, you know, wreak a little havoc on the opposition. So it is really nice to see the drafting and development here has been excellent. And to grab a kid like that at 28, the way he's moving along, I'd say in the next 12 months, he probably ends up being a full-time NHL player, and he's going to be fun to watch. And I think people kind of should realize that he's not just come, so, you know, some foot soldier. He's going to be a really quality. And we saw how many plays he made last night, JT. I don't think there was a player on the Canada that made more, you know, off, you know, outside of his own zone. Nice sauce to the wingers inside the zone, had the beautiful pass on the last goal. So yeah, lots to like about his game.
Now, with all due respect for Leaf fans, I have to ask this question. I mean, Matthew Nyes for Team USA was involved in that monumental yes guy, no guy review and challenge on game one night against Germany. That was, I mean, I had to tweet out. I said, this review challenge thing is it's a ripoff of yes guy, no guy. But nonetheless, he was front and center on that. I mean, you could sort of project him into the Leafs lineup, couldn't you?
Well, exactly. It'll be playoffs. There'll be controversy. You'll have the referee come out and not be able to speak English, actually say the wrong thing versus what he actually means, even after a 12-minute delay. So, hey, I think that could set up perfect. I thought it was pretty funny yesterday, too, with McTavish, how different it is. You know, they're in the penalty box. Yeah. He's watching the review with them. Hey, The NHL is always so uptight, and these referees are just terrified. They're like, what the hell is going on here? We got to sit here. We're going to review it, and let's just thankful there isn't a big crowd in Canada, and we can make sure we end up getting this one right.
I mean, you sort of sidestepped your analysis on Matthew Nyes. What do you think of him?
You know, I don't know him well enough, JT. I'm always careful to kind of make these comments on players until I see a little bit more in tournaments, until I watch him. And I really kind of measure a player like this if they play against Canada, or as we get later into, I'll sit down and watch a little bit more. I just don't know enough about him to really make a comment.
And I think we're looking for better attendance in the Canadian games. I mean, last night was, I don't know how to classify, but I think you're expecting more.
Yeah, you know, it's easy to kind of second guess, but the only thing I kind of looked at and thought after we watched yesterday is that would there have been an opportunity to move this to Red Deer? I think the obvious from a Canadian destination with Connor Bedard would have been Regina. You know, would this have been the thought process at some point just to say, hey, here might be an opportunity to send it to a smaller center, but I don't know all the inner workings behind the scene, and you're right. Going to have some work. You're praying if you're the organizers, which I think they will, but you're certainly praying that Canada ends up getting to the final, and let's hope it's a slow build. You know, it's unfortunate. We've been spoiled for many years when it comes to the World Junior, but this is a very rare set of circumstances, and you have a city that just took through a real nice run of their NHL team, have had a lot of World Junior, and it is the middle of summertime, so I'm very respectful of that. These Canadian cities have done such a great job for many years, so let's just pretend we're in somewhere in Northern Europe where the hockey isn't all that popular. Let's pretend it's Italy. You know, just say, hey, live from Italy, and that's why the crowds are so bad. Then the way the people in Edmonton aren't taking any flack.
I think, you know, in order to do that, they should park a couple of cars in the seats. That would sort of
well,
do
yeah.
that, right?
Where are the Skodas? Like, seriously. Hey, where's a good Skoda? Even bring back an old-school Lada from, like, the 80s, right? Have a couple of those. Yeah. A couple of rust buckets in the corner just to fill thing up. Or maybe we might see the tarps. Might see the COVID tarps coming out pretty soon, too, right? If the fans aren't willing to get in there, then it might be tarp time.
I think the Skoda would be a much better look, but anyway, that's just
yeah,
me.
That's
I could
true.
Be wrong.
Yeah.
Simmer, thanks very much. We'll talk to you at 5:30.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.
Thank you. That's Sean Simpson from TSN 1200, The Morning Show in Ottawa.